horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners hauling other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three at the races. Got about 55 minutes, and we'll talk in a little bit to Jerry Hollendorfer and Safi Joseph. But this is a visit that it was basically foretold just weeks ago in Ocala when I tried to motion Al Gold to come sit down. And he said, not until I win a grade one. And then here it was 2 weeks later. He's a grade one winner. Cyberknife. What a great story as it all kind of comes together. A great ride as well. Al, congratulations to you and Hillary and Brad and how about Joe Hardoon in here as well and everybody that's been involved in this terrific win.
It was a great experience, Steve. First, I'm here with Joe Hardoon, who did pick out the horse, who's a budding bloodstock agent. And he went around to look at all these horses, three, four sales in a row, and said, this is the horse. We got to get this horse. And he knew what he was talking about.
Well, and I was going to work around to it, but since we started in this direction, let's touch on this. Because, you know, you've been willing to spend for a horse in the past. This was a deep pocket purchase, $400,000 for you. Talk about, yeah, you know, talk about that portion of it.
Well, I have Joe here. I have to say that I'm saying nice things in business right here. So I can't, you know, he really liked the horse. So, you know, we're in the game of trying to win a big race. And he said this horse walked great, looked great. We were hoping we'd get it a little bit cheaper, you know, first year sire. But that didn't happen, so we had to spend for it. But so far, it's worked out, so we're very happy. Obviously,
no doubt. The story, of course, has its share of twists and turns, Al. I mean, including the disqualification, which at the time felt like a complete injustice. But given the arc of the horse, and you know, some of his, you know, flighty behavior because he's high strung. Maybe in some ways that ended up being a blessing in disguise.
Well, the horse has my personality, so I get a little bit high strung and anxious or whatever. And of course, you know, I know your listeners know that it was named after my cancer surgery, that I had Cyberknife surgery to get rid of my prostate cancer. So that's a little twist to the story. But the horse was just looked great. fortunate to get him. He has some issues, but hopefully the last couple of races, the horse has been going mostly straight. It's, you know, in the last race, you could see he bore out a little bit down the lane when he had a big lead already. But he has his issues, but hopefully they're straightening out. He's maturing one race at a time, and he seems to be better now.
This was the dam... Awesome Flower. This was her third foal, and it certainly was interesting to me. One of the storylines last week leading into it was the passing of Gene Melnick, and it wasn't lost on me that, you know, here was a Flower Alley daughter that had dropped Cyberknife, so that little bit of a backdrop, and then came a Ride Owl that, I mean, I said earlier this morning, if somebody had somehow run him down, or if he had flattened out, if he wasn't as ready as he was, thanks to Brad's training, it would have felt like it was a premature move. What were your thoughts as the race unfolded and Flo decided not to wait around?
Well, being a superstitious person, I'm watching it in my house, have my wife in one room, I have Joe Hart doing it in another room, and I'm outside watching on my iPad, and it started to rain, and I'm watching just as he's about to make the move in between horses, my reaches. So I'm hitting the damn iPad, saying, what the hell's going on with this thing that's frozen? I run into the house, to one room, I can't find the clicker, I run into another room, and Joe's there, and I'm watching the last 15 seconds of the race, the last 10 seconds of the race, basically. So that was my experience. I watched the replay probably 200 times since, but while it was going on, I missed the whole thing.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I'm glad I didn't see that, because I would have been aggravated that he went in between instead of waiting and going around. But he knows what he's doing. He's a grade one jockey. You know, he's one of the best out there. So he made the right move. He knew what he had underneath him and when to move. That's the same thing in a month.
Well, exactly. So the fact that this portion of the weekend, it does force me to bring up the fact that there had been plans to be in Hot Springs, and I know is that you had plane trouble and that got scuttled. So it seems like there was all kinds of, you know, conspiring to keep you from watching this race.
Yes, there was. You know, we're naming the next horse Cabin Pressure, like that. After that, we got on the plane. It was an hour delayed. There was some rocket going off someplace, so we're taxiing forever, and I hate flying, so immediately I go into we took a private jet, there's eight of us on the plane, I immediately go into a fetal position, my wife covers me, and I got headphones on, I don't want to hear a noise, I don't want to know nothing, and we take off, and I feel it's going in the air, and like 5-10 minutes later, I feel like I'm sweating profusely, I'm thinking I'm having a heart attack, my ears are killing me. It's like, you know, that air, that popping thing, and it's just painful. And then I hear the wheels go down, and I'm thinking that, you know, I must have fell asleep, and I've been up there for 2 hours. And then and I kept feeling my wife put my blanket over me, like she wanted me to hear what was going on or something. I don't know what the hell's going on, but when I hear the wheels go down, I figured, okay, I slept, we're gonna land. And then I put my head up, and I see Joe Hartung starts giggling, because he doesn't care if he dies or not. He's laughing as a young kid. They tell me that we've been up for 15 minutes, and we're going down. We have, and then the girl, the assistant, the co-pilot, she's flipping switches like crazy. So I think this is it. It's all over. I'm never going to see, you know, my kids again. What's all going to happen? But we returned. And thankfully, we couldn't find a plane to go again, because I don't know if I really wanted to go again. Now I may take a plane, who the hell knows, but that was just an awful experience. So, yeah, this was, I didn't get to see the race throughout, and I almost didn't make it to the, didn't make it. We almost, the plane didn't go, didn't make it, so who the hell knows what was going on. It was a hell of an experience, put it that way.
Unbelievable. Well, the good news is it's an easy drive to Louisville. There's no plane will be necessary.
It is, but I know from Delray to Louisville, what is it, like 15, 18 hours?
Yeah, at the most.
Against my normal way of thinking, I just want to get there.
All right, so, all right.
That's what I'll end up doing.
Well, Tina, and I will be driving from Fort Myers, from Sanibel.
Okay.
But that's 2 weeks out. If you want to come to Louisville for 2 weeks.
Oh, you're going to be there. No, we're going to go a few days the Thursday before. I think that's where we're going to be. Just the day before the Oaks. Just go for the 2 days.
What, did you already book? Because you should come a couple days earlier, Al, and really enjoy the week. I mean, you've been to Derby, though.
I was in the Derby a long time ago. I had a horse run in the first race. We won the first race at 11 o'clock in the morning, and that was it. I haven't been back since. The rest of it I've been watching on TV all these years.
Well, let's talk about this for a little bit, too, because as you and I have talked before, and I've made it very public that you're an owner that had something done to you that others have walked away from the game disgustedly, and you did not. And you dug your heels in, and you've stayed on, and you've put tremendous, as I wrote, financial capital and emotional capital in the game, and you're dedicated to it. To have this kind of a horse that is obviously going to be sought after in these next few weeks as a stallion. I'm sure the phones already rang on that topic, being by Gunrunner, and now a Grade One winner. Talk about the satisfaction, Al, of sticking it through and getting a horse like this.
You know, the bad stuff and taking advantage of people, that was one thing that they took advantage of me. In the past when I didn't know the insides of the game. That was many years ago, and I'm glad that's over. And I'm trying to just enjoy the, everything above a maiden claiming race that I'm in is enjoyment to me. I just love the game so much, and I've been going for the track, like I told somebody the other day, for 50 years. I'm 66. I started going at 16. I love the game, and you have ups and downs. And in this game, you have more downs than ups, and you have more bad people than good. That's just the way it is. So I guess when anytime there's money involved, people just try to rob you and take advantage of you. But, I'm over the bad part of it. Hopefully, I've had some good horses that died on me.
Yep.
I've had
Chase City.
Chase City, a few other ones. But now, hopefully, this is a good one. Maybe the luck is turning, and this will be a good horse, and we'll see how it goes in the future.
Amazingly, it's only taken, 7 starts. He's your biggest earner, $860,000. But you've had, stake horses, that nice filly that won the Iowa Oaks, Little Miss Holly, and it's funny. I just was talking to Mig, because Wood Day in 2010, we got beat just the narrowest of necks, and you had that nice horse that beat Lloyd Dobler as well. Rule by Night was a nice horse for you.
He was a nice horse. Tried to make a stallion. He really wasn't very good at that, but still has a couple of horses floating around out there. We had him. We had the Projector. I had the was ran really well his first time out. We had real high feelings for him, high hopes for him. We had Spanky Fishbine back in 06 or
yes.
So. He was on the Derby Trail for an hour and a half. there were some good horses back there. Some we had high hopes for that just didn't pan out or whatever, something happened to him. Cleon Jones was another one.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why, the game, it's ups and downs. You got to really enjoy the ups because the downs are coming soon. So this is a real good time now. I'm real, really happy about this. What else can you say? It's hard to put into words how thrilled we are.
We should note, of course, too, you've become one of this era's top namer of horses, because the fun that and the mirth that you've invested into the naming of your horses, they almost always resonate.
Yeah, well, we're trying to have fun with that, so it doesn't hurt to have a little fun naming horses. You know, a lot of them are inside jokes with friends and women.
Yes.
Then other ones we take from TV, all different names.
Take me to Hardoon.
Take me to Hardoon is sitting right next to me. His father, long time. My father worked for the Chiefs for, he's working there for over 40 years. He loves the game, and the son has the same passion. So we named one first time out in Saratoga, if you remember.
That's right.
And then he got hurt, so I don't know where she is now. Wherever he is. But that was a fun back then. I remember that horse very nicely. You were with Skip in the winner's circle with me.
That's right. Oh, well, that's when you came down the stairs. You came down like like Moses descending from from the mount.
I remember it was the first time I took my wife when we won. It was the first time she came with all the way. One time we flew to Kentucky and horse jumped the rail. Another time I was 3-2 favorite, went up the track. This time she came and she won. So it was nice to have her there in the winner's circle.
You had the Ginger and Marianne was right. Got a lot of play, and the Odd Couple names. You've had fun with the Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple names.
Who? Unger, Felix's brother.
Floyd Unger, right?
Floyd Unger.
Yes. That was the brother. That
yes.
His brother Floyd, yes.
And
I have a nice, beautiful poster of him, a painting of him in my house in Saratoga, actually. He had $63,000 earned in his career, but we made a nice painting of him. So.
Too funny. Yeah. You also, who else? Well, then there's the names like Avinu Malkeinu, who was one of your top earners.
Yes, we had the little Jewish names. We threw in a couple of Hebrew prayers in there, a few of those. But Shabbos was another one.
That's right. That's right. Good Shabbos. Right. Absolutely.
And then I have horses I named after friends of mine, Tom Lucci, that couldn't pick up his feet. Two terrible horses. And then the one we named that you were the winner of the Hanlon Award. I had two Hanlon, Hanlon and Hanlon Woman. They were pretty good horses. They did well. There's quite a few different names in the past.
Well,
now we have Cyberknife, so now everything changes with Cyberknife. We're real happy.
Well, a horse like this offsets, not just the financial side of it. I mean, you've obviously had plenty of wherewithal on that front, but it's more where it's taking you. And I suppose the kids are going to come to the Ville.
Yeah. I want them to do the walk. I've never done it, so I want them to do that. I want them to see what it's like to walk and have 100,000-plus people looking at them.
Absolutely.
See that feeling. I told my wife and daughter to get fancy hats, that the women wear for the Derby. So we'll see them there. I'm looking forward to going.
Wow. Al, this is a wonderful result, and the Arkansas Derby added to the list of big wins, and luckily you've got a couple of options for where you can put the trophy that they'll as a centerpiece, and the potential to there's so much more. You got you win this race, and it gives you just an open door, for the rest of the season. I mean, the idea of after the Spring Classics, the idea of pointing for something like the Travers, which would mean, I would think, as much to you as the Haskell. I mean, both of those are.
I lived in Jersey for 60 years.
Exactly.
And I've been going to Monmouth since I was 17, so the Haskell would definitely be an option to go there for horses in good shape then. That would definitely be something we're going to think about. Or the Jim Dandy, since I live in Saratoga half a year.
You bet.
So one or the other, but that would be something I'm thinking about.
I would think. I mean, it'd be a natural, just a natural. Well, you know how happy and excited I am for you.
I appreciate that. I know. Know each other a long time already.
I know. So. I know. And you're one of my favorite people in the game. And I'm sincere, as people have heard me say, what you did, staying on, and a lot of people just up and walk away, and you didn't. And this is part of the payoff, and may it only get more wonderful from here.
Yeah, thank you. I hope it does, and I will see you in Louisville.
Absolutely. We'll talk before Al Gold, everybody. And you can follow Al, and we should really get a little bit more, you know, you should be more outgoing on the Twitter.
I will be.
All right, you've got potential. I mean, you could be a big hit with your sense of humor.
Well, I'm sitting back and enjoying reading all the comments. I think we're going 10-1 in favor so far. We've got some haters out there, but that's normal too.
Nah, listen, let them, like, you can't stop that, and you can't stop Cyberknife.
I hope not, Steve.
You can follow Al Gold Square 88, and you can see him at Saratoga. You'll see him in Louisville. Safe travels. When do they ship? When is Brad going to ship?
He's shipping tomorrow.
Nice.
And that's it. We're on our way.
Excellent. Al Gold, everybody, and Cyberknife. Now, you know, somebody asked me, they said, what's the name? What's the story behind the name? And so now you know. And much like Marty McGee reminds everybody, too, about prostate health and getting checked. So,
yes,
always good advice. Al, thank you. I'll talk soon.
Thank you, Steve. Bye.
Al Gold, everybody, and there it is. I was looking forward to that. Let's get to Jerry Hollendorfer. We got so much to do yet, and then we'll wrap up with Safi Joseph this morning. All right, Jerry, no problem. We'll get you. Thanks. Jerry's tied up. So we'll go to Safi instead, and we'll get back to Jerry maybe tomorrow instead, all right? That he's the greatest. I haven't talked to him in forever. And he said, I can't talk right now. We'll get Safi in here. See, this is why it's always good when Casey's making the call. But Safi Joseph is going to join us here. And Safi, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve.
You know, not only is there Whyte Barrio to congratulate you for, but how about winning the training title?
Oh yeah, that was a big one too. I mean, to follow Fletcher's footsteps, he's won it for 18 years, and he's someone I look up to. Obviously, his record speaks for itself, but it was just an amazing accomplishment for the whole team.
This is obviously it's significant, and you talked about what it meant to you. In fact, you got pretty emotional about it. But to me, it's a great story because there was some real question about his status coming in. When you don't ever want to lose even a couple of days training at this level and in this kind of an assignment.
No, most definitely, especially at this level. In a lesser kind of race, in those claiming races, those kind of horses could overcome those kind of things. But when you're at the elite level, you can't really give away much advantage. And everything had gone pretty perfect till 12 days out. And then he spiked that temp, and his blood work wasn't optimal. He pulled it, so he showed he was fighting something. His white blood cells were elevated. You didn't know where you were at from, like, Tuesday onwards to, like, Friday. It was a bit of gray area. Are we going to run or are we going to have to scratch? And then thankfully each day kept getting a little better, and we pushed back the work from Sunday to Tuesday and pulled the blood work on Monday, and the blood work on Monday was gave us the okay to go ahead and breeze on Tuesday.
Well, not only did you breeze, but you gave him like an Alan Jerkins old school blowout.
Yeah, well, we cut by the distance. Initially we were going to go a half mile, but then once we had to get closer to the race, we cut it about a 3/8. And I know you ran fast that day, but it might be a little more deceiving because the day before was a sales, so the track might have been on the speedy side. But even if a track's on the speedy side, how he worked that day was phenomenal. His work basically put any question marks in the back of our head out the window. I mean, because he just cruised around there in 34-4, and then he galloped out. He went out in like 47-1, and out in a minute, and it was like a minute and three. So it was a top class work. He came back. He wasn't even blowing. And it gave us some confidence. It gave us much more confidence to where we were at, like 5 days before.
You know, one reality is going to set in, Safi, when people look at the PPs when they come together, you know, particularly after next weekend, when we know essentially, you know, we'll have a pretty good idea of the top 18, 19. There may be a horse or two that can get in through the Lexington. But when we start to compare these PPs, he's done almost nothing wrong. And, you know, he's now 4-for-5, and the only loss came going two turns for the first time, and it ended up being in that red-hot Kentucky Jockey Club. I mean, his resume is even better, I think, than people realize.
100%. And that race, he got beat that day, but if you watch that race, he got valuable experience. And I always try to look for the positive in any race you run in. Because you're always disappointed, especially when you get a horse beat that's unbeaten that you think a lot of. And the positive was he broke well. He was on. There was some speed. I think the Roman's horse went inside of us, and we kind of ended up down on the inside. And he raced keenly for about the first half mile. You could see Edgar was kind of against him to get him to relax. And when you're a rider has to be against you, you're using energy that you don't want to use. Finally, he switched off, and then he basically had nowhere to go. He's taking all that dirt for the first time. And what I liked is that when he kind of got him out in the clear about the eighth pole, he stayed on evenly. He never was going to win, but he left there, left us with confidence that he handled the distance. And I told the ownership group, I said, you know what, we got beat today, but he's going to learn so much from this today, and which he did. And from then, he's kind of flourished.
Well, and you also clearly made a good decision to bypass the Fountain of Youth and basically give him that sort of mid-winter freshening between the Holy Bull, and it pays off here. There's a lot to like about the way in which you've handled him, third off the layoff, essentially, when you get to Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, he ran so big and missed some time before the Holy Bull also.
Right.
That time we were giving up fitness because we missed two crucial works, and going into the Holy Bull was very uneasy. We needed to get him back started, timing-wise, but I wasn't sure if he was fit enough, and I was kind of scared that he could run, get tired, and get beat 10 lengths. I was hoping that he would run in the first three, and I was going to accept if he got beat 4 or 5 lengths that we know he could move forward from that from a fitness standpoint. And thankfully, he jumped up and won the Holy Bull that day. And that made me go, wow. I was like, there was no way he was supposed to win the Holy Bull the way he did.
Well, and that actually, you know, that really was a message. And, you know, now you follow up with the Florida Derby win. You talk about the ownership. Go back to identifying this horse. Who was it that saw that maiden race? You know, 81 buyer, nice debut, kind of a modest pedigree being by race day. Actually was bred by Spendthrift and was originally a $40,000 two-year-old in training sale purchase at last year's March sale. That was by the group that was known as Clap Embroidery. Talk about identifying this horse for a private purchase.
Yeah, it was the ownership group of Mark Cornett and Clint Cornett. They're two brothers, and Mark's the one that looks for the horses. And Mark, basically, he didn't even tell me he was buying him. He called, I said, I just bought a horse. And I said, who'd you buy? He said, White Abara. I said, wow, that's a nice horse. He said, go pick him up. You can pick him up tomorrow. And literally, so he was full credit to Mark for finding him. I mean, his debut was a very impressive debut. He broke, he was drawn inside, he sat between two horses, which is a hard trip for any horse, yet alone a first timer, and he quickened the way nicely. And they stepped up, and they bought him on. It was a gutsy call, and obviously a great one by Mark.
Is it public knowledge how much he paid?
I don't know how much they paid. I know they paid a good sum, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know how they paid, but they paid a good sum.
Well, and that win came at First Asking, Angel Arroyo aboard, and then you brought him into an allowance, then to Kentucky, and then the time off. I mean, it feels like every decision has been, you know, absolutely on key. How soon will you take him to Churchill?
He's going to ship. He's going to do all his work in Florida. He'll okay. do all his work in Florida, and then he'll ship after his final probably like 6 or 7 days out. It feels good now that it worked the plan, but when he got sick last week, I was like, darn, we should have probably gone to the Fountain and Youth. You know, you question yourself, like, if you missed the Florida Derby, but it was the right thing to do. I mean, the spacing-wise, the plan was always to give him that time after the Holy Bowl to hopefully run well in the Florida Derby, and then hopefully it sets him up to run his best third off the bench in the Kentucky Derby. And we feel like we have a fresh horse. We feel like we have a horse going in the right direction. And at this point, you need a horse to continue gradually improving, and he seems to be fitting the bill.
It was a great cap to a terrific day, particularly for Tyler Gaffalione. That was his fifth win of the afternoon, and we should actually, and obviously we'll look forward to everything moving, you know, up to Kentucky. I do want to get a few other thoughts in, Safi, and of course you've got starters in the Wood Memorial we'll talk about in a minute, but let's stay on Saturday for a second. I'm going to ask about a funny horse. I went off on a tangent the other day, previewing about Running Legacy's potential in that Oaks. I didn't think she could threaten the winner. But I thought, here's a horse getting on dirt, and there was every reason to believe that distance and the dirt was going to be to her liking. What were your thoughts out of placing in the Gulfstream Oaks?
Yeah, the main thought with her, like her words before she ever got started were very average. We got her started on a tapita, and obviously she won nicely. Then we put her on the grass. And she didn't do much. She got checked early, and she kind of stayed even all the way around there. The Oaks was coming up light, bar the first two. The first two were obviously in a class of their own. And then after that, it was kind of third place was up for grabs. And being by gun runner out of a good family from the Setzlers, if you could get any kind of graded stakes placing on her, it would be very important.
Yep.
It was mainly just giving her a try because her dirt work has improved since her first race. I thought she worked good enough 6 days before to give us a try. Thankfully, it worked out. I mean, she was beating far, but you know what? She got grade 2 placement, which is huge. She's like gun runner. She's half the grade stakes winner, grade 3 winner. So it's big for the family of the Setzlers to get a grade 2 placement on her.
Well, and one of the things that drew me to her, you mentioned Mr. Seltzer, one of our favorite owners out there, and this is a very nice family. That second dam, that the AP Indy mare was unraced, but her dam, Harbor Club, was a terrific grade one placed sort of middle distance sprint type that Skiff dog, Tommy Skiffington, trained. And this is a nice family, and it gives Eddie Seltzer a placing, and it's only her third career start, so there's still plenty of upside going forward. How about talk about Beechnut Trophy in the Sanibel?
Yeah, Beechnut Trophy, we're bringing her back a little quick. Mr. Ramsey wanted to try for the owner title, and she was coming back in like 16 days, but she ran well. I kind of, probably the best horse in the day, just got going too late, kind of had to wait for a gap at the top of the lane, and she was leaning in a bit, so she wasn't helping Jose 100%. But she's a nice filly. We think quite highly of her. I feel like she's got a lot of stakes under and in the future to get under her belt.
That was a good group, and that I think that race is going to end up, being productive going forward. That Sanibel. Yeah. Also, we should talk about the Sir Shackleton, right? You ended up. I tried to make Girolamo's Attack. I thought we'd get a good price, and it was actually Collaborate, who I think was more regarded, and actually ran very well to be second.
Yeah, Collaborate's a horse that we've seen the world of him, but obviously he's had a tie back before we ever got him as a young horse, and I think it compromises his true ability. Thought he ran credible the other day, first time in blinkers. Wayborn's obviously a nice horse in his own right, and I was happy to see Collaborate. He traveled much kindly into the race. It was much more keen early on, and then he didn't pack it in. He kind of stayed on evenly towards the end. So I thought it was a race to work on, and hopefully we'll kind of stick with him in those kind of stakes to grade three levels and try to win a few with him.
You also, I tell you, had a bit of a sneaky good effort that if people go back and look at the Pan American, that second time North America, Novosol, the Brazilian, that was a good try.
Yeah, it was a good try, and this horse had trained really well into the race. And then we had a hiccup a few days before. It seemed like he was fighting some kind of virus, and I wasn't too sure. We were too minds if we were going to go ahead and scratch him, but all seemed okay to let him run. And he's a horse that I don't feel was at his best on Saturday. He could improve off that race. He could actually improve, and obviously Fufu's a good horse in his own right. So proven grade one horse. I think Novosol is a horse that has a future this year.
How about I know that he's still finding his way, but also seems like 12-volt man. I know he's gelding and just feels like there's something there to work with.
He's a notch below, I would say. He had won the Claiming Crown here going course and distance. So then we took him to Aquedon, and he got outrun, and it was more or less in this race, just give him a shot at home. But he's a horse in probably in the spring and summer. I mean, in the summer, Gulfstream could handle those kind of overnight stakes. I think that's probably about his best overnight stake horse.
12-volt man, and in fact, I saw he's got a sister by Painter named Rock Lobster that just ran too. And I just happened to, I don't know, for whatever reason, I the sassy spirit is the dam, and the name, I just saw the name twice in short order. So it made me, kind of go look at when I was looking at the pedigree for Rock Lobster, and I saw the 12-volt man was her older brother. It made like a little mental imprint. All right, let's turn our attention, Safi, to the weekend and New York. And we'll see, obviously, at you're going to come up, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet if I'll be there yet, but we'll kind of finalize plans a little more towards the midweek. The horse is going to ship up tomorrow, both of them.
All right, we're talking about AP Secret and Skippy Longstocking. Some thoughts about since we've seen them last.
AP Secret is a horse that we think is a quality horse. Obviously, in the Fountain of Youth, kind of ran disappointing, but he sat a good trip until about the three-quarter pole, and then from there, they started getting outside pressure early in the race from Luis Saez on Emmanuel and Alvarado on the Mott horse. And it kind of changed his tempo because he had to keep asking him to keep to safe position. And then going into the quarter pole, I thought he was already held as far as he was about to back up. And then all that bumping and that fall happened. So we're going to give him one more try and see where we're at. Taking the Aquila, I think the track, if it plays on a slower side, is better for him because he's a horse that we think has a lot of stamina. Skippy Longstockings, he's one that we always thought distance would be great for him, and then he was kind of running. We ended up in all these one-turn miles at Gulfstream, and he was showing speed and stopping, and I was kind of getting frustrated. I was almost thinking of turning him back in distance to like three-quarters or seven-eighths, and Junior Alvarado gave us some very good input. He said no. He said, run him two turns. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, I thought he wanted to go two turns, but the way he stopped, I don't think so. He said, no, give him a try. So we gave him a try and an allowance that looked quite competitive on paper going into the race. When I entered, I was like, geez, this is not a race I want to be in. They ended up that the King Cab horse went 21 and change. And it was some solid fractions. And Skippy was able to close into it, and he won well. I mean, he ran a mile and eighth and 149 and change, and that's a very good time for a 3-year-old on Gulfstream. We're going to give him the class check, see if he can do it again.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, a few other topics or a few other horses to at least touch base on. And if we talk about Derby, New York Traffic, of course, your first Derby starter. And saw his name come up over the weekend. Got asked, too, about Drain the Clock, who ran abroad last week. And I got to bring up Shifty She, who won at the Florida Cup in Tampa last week. And that ownership group, I mean, they are so just over the top about, you know, how lucky they are and how happy they are to be associated with a mare like that.
Yeah, I mean, Shifty She, she's a horse that every time she runs, she shows up. I remember the first time I ever ran her. We had just gotten her. She was coming off like a almost like 18 months or 16 month layoff, and she dueled on the lead that she should have. The horse she dueled with ran last, and she should have run last, especially after that layoff. And she fought on to run fourth. And that day, I she really made me open my eyes. I was like, wow. I told the ownership group, she didn't deserve to lose off the layoff like that. But she just showed her hearts and guts. And from then on, she went on to won two stakes, and then every race she shows up and she tries hard. That's one thing you know from her. Once you run her, she's going to show up. She was able to win that grade three last year. Yep. And then we ran at Pegasus this year. She ran a credible third. And then we wanted to take a step back because our main goal is to try to get her back to Belmont in the one turn mile. We feel like that's our best option to try to get grade one place and win a grade one with her. So we're going to point to the Just the Game.
Just the Game.
We use the Florida bred race as a stepping stone, try to get a win under our belt and get some more confidence for her. And then we could use the space hit now to adjust the game, and we'll hopefully she'll stay well and go there with a good chance.
Outstanding. Drain the clock, give him a little time off the big trip.
Yeah, he went to Windstar. He's going to probably spend like a month there. And then we'll get him back started. We'll come up with a plan. We haven't come up with a plan yet, but kind of disappointed me in Dubai because when he makes the lead like that, I didn't expect him to stop, and I don't know why he stopped so quickly. I mean, I don't know if the trip took a toll on him, and it kind of just, he ran out of gas, or the track it was just that heavy and compromised his speed, because he did have to go fast early. But it was puzzling to see him stop at the 3-4 early on when he made that lead. Yeah, he had to be rushed a bit to make the lead, but when he did make the lead, I felt comfortable, and then I was surprised to see him pack it in so easy.
Well, we certainly fans of Slam Dunk and Nick and his team, so we'll look forward to his next opportunity. What about New York traffic? Where do you stand with him?
New York traffic, we got him back started. And that was a tough race to get him back started. Speaker's Corner was a very impressive winner.
Yeah.
But we needed to get a race back into him, and I thought he ran okay. He kind of lost his position early and took some dirt. Irad said he wasn't happy taking dirt, which we know that's not his preference or running style. But we're going to back him up and start him back at in the New York Red Series. I think there's one on April 29th.
Nice.
And there's
yeah.
one back on May 20th. So we're going to target both of those races with him.
Why not? Then why not take advantage of the, you know, of the New York program? How old is he? Is he five now? Or six?
Yeah, five.
He's five. You know, he's one of those horses, Safi, that feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah, no, you had me doubting his age.
Right?
Yeah. It was a rare derby. He ran in, I think it was 2020 September. So that was my first derby, but it was in September. So it's not really we don't want to call it like a true derby. It was September and no fans.
Well, this will be the true derby. In fact, I saw the quote you gave to Mike Welch about looking forward to having a true derby experience for, you know, for you and your team and everybody, for the players and fans as well. You know, that's on hand for you and White Abario, and I'm delighted. Congratulations on all the successes. Good luck this weekend. Maybe I'll see you at Aqueduct Saturday, and otherwise I'll see you in Kentucky.
Thanks a lot. Thank you, Steve, for having me on.
Not at all. Safi Joseph, not just a Florida Derby win, which is important, but also a training title. And you know, winning stakes here or there is one thing. You know, winning from December through April at all levels. I mean, that's a tremendous accomplishment. And obviously with all those horses that we talked about, Safi Joseph just got a strong operation and, you know, continues to add nice horses of different kinds, you know, and places them very cleverly, you know, ran ran a number of horses in that Florida Cup. I could have asked about there was that officiating as well that ran there. And he runs his horses. We're going to talk to Brian Lynch to wrap up. And we've got about 10 minutes. And this may be this might be tough for Brian, because obviously the disappointment involving Classic Causeway, but at the same time, the success of Phantom Currency, I suppose, offset things a little bit. Brian Lynch, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Brian, I'm good. I'm sure you heard a couple of references there. You had to be elated at the way Phantom Currency came back and wins the Appleton, and really was impressive off the year plus. And then kind of moderating the ebullience. it didn't take long to come back to earth a little bit. Some thoughts about Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Classic Causeway goes, I don't know where it come from. You know, scope clean after it. He's nice and sound after it. So, you know, who knows where they, you know. I remember starting Oscar Performance in the Arlington Million of moving money one day and watching him get eased. And then 3 weeks later come back and win the Wood by a mile.
So, that's right.
Sometimes these things happen, and until it happens to you, I don't think you've run enough horses. So, you know, disappointment, of course, but regroup. He's nice and sound. But not having to, you know, take chips out of anywhere or put screws in somewhere. So take all that as a positive, and just sort of, you know, Mike Tyson says it's best. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the nose. So I got a punch in the nose, so put our gloves back up and let the dust settle and see where we can regroup.
In terms of, because obviously in 48 hours, a lot of things have mulled over already in your head. How much of it includes the thought of cutting him back and taking a more moderate approach, you know, to the middle part of the year?
For sure. We're definitely not going to get too creative, and that's for sure. So definitely at this stage, we're just going back to the drawing board and let him get his legs underneath him and make sure we're not missing anything, and make sure he's good and healthy, which he seems to be. So, yeah, but at this stage, no crazy plans. Just get the horse back on track, and he showed us he's got some quality when he's right. So let's get him back to when he's right, and then we'll make a decision where we go from there.
Is the Derby less likely or not?
I certainly wouldn't be trying to get creative and off that sort of race, because, you know, certainly nor do I want to jeopardise his confidence or be drilling on a horse that doesn't want to play at the moment. So, you know, we've got to get a bit of 1-2 back in his program, and for whatever happened, he was displacing a lot of... He displaced in the race there, and he corrected himself as he started to wind down, but, you know, he's still a little stressed after the race, and he repeatedly sort of... displacing and slow to correct. So that could have happened in the race. He's got an unusual nub on the side of his jaw, and he goes in basic equipment. We never put tongue tie on him or drop nose bands. So maybe he got, you know, maybe something happened mechanically in his airway there. Maybe he just bounced. Who knows? But we've been there before, and we've regrouped and come back and turned their form around. So at this stage, I'm not really panicked. Like you said earlier, I'm going to take the positive. What about that training job on Phantom Currency?
Exactly. So how quickly do you need to make a decision Derby-wise in terms of how you're going to train? It's obviously...
Well, I won't let even the Derby come into it, Steve. I'll just take the horse back to the track as if we normally would and not change anything. And
All right.
The Derby would be the furthest thing on my mind at the moment. It'd be just, you know, getting him back and just making sure that there isn't anything underlying.
All right.
At this stage, we're just going to get him back up to Churchill and play the cards as they fall.
Very good. All right, so just telling everybody to lay off with the questions and let it, let the horse, kind of regain.
Yeah.
All right.
Certainly going to do the right thing by the horse.
Exactly.
I'm not going to try to chase anything that isn't there. So, we'll just take it one day at a time. And fortunately, he looks like he's in good.
Well, all right. That's the
another day.
Now that's the best. That's the best news. Let's talk about Phantom Currency, because here's a 6-year-old gelding that was away for 13 months. And it's one thing to come back in a slow-paced race, last seen winning the McDermida. You bring him back in the Appleton, which is a mile, and a mile is a demanding return race, Brian, and he could not have won better.
Yeah, I thought the mile might have been a little bit short for him, especially if he got caught up in a bit of a speed duel early. But, owned by Jim and Susan Hill, rehabbed at Margot Farm, done a fantastic program coming through there. So when they handed him over to me, they said, green lights, go, train on. So, we got plenty of work into him. We got some good 7-8 works into him here at Palm Meadows, and each work got better than the other. And then, admittedly, our turf course is a little quick here, especially when you can work well. And, his final blowout was just give him an easy 5-8, let him pick it up a bit the last quarter, and he worked in 57 like breaking sticks. So I figured that if he was to, if he was to inherit the lead and be able to dictate the terms and they left him alone, then he was going to be, he was going to be tough to beat. But if they went up, and he was going to get caught up and something, I thought he might have blew up a little bit late. But fortunately, he got left alone, and I just love the way his ears were flickering down the backside there. It was just poetry. So, and then to see him quicken up, and like you say, a 6-year-old off a layoff, it's just good old quality horses. So, very proud of the old boy. Very proud of him.
Now, 6th win in 15 career starts, and this one, of course, for the Hills, Susan and Jim Hill, and in the familiar thick striped silks. What I suppose this gives you some options for him to win a mile. It gives you kind of an open book option wise.
Yeah, ultimately, like Steve, you'd like to get him stretched out in their marathon distance, because he's sort of one of them foot horses that he can outfoot them early, and then, he seems to be able to relax, and then he's got a high cruising speed. And there's so many big races on the spring-summer program, especially as the summer goes on, for the, mile and a half. Out there, I think that's a little bit kinder on them. They don't have to go as hard as milers do. So as the year goes on, we're hoping he sort of gets better and better. And it was a good way to start the year. And he still shows us that he still wants to do it. He's got plenty of want to in his program. So look forward to him for
nice.
The summer here. Probably I'm looking at the Elkhorn. That race was a prep for the Elkhorn. So coming back in a bit over 3 weeks. So he seems like he came out of it really well. So, that'll be the next step for him.
Phantom Currency. And got to ask about Red Danger, too, who I think took a step forward. It's taken him a little bit to get going this year.
Yeah. He sort of had kept drawing the outside there. And he's had trouble tucking in. He's always sort of got a wide trip. But it was game to hang on there for second. The winner looked good the other day, but I thought he ran a game second. So, and I even think a mile of 16 is probably that little bit further than he wants to run. So, he's a horse, again, that you could... He showed affinity for Kentucky Downs, so we could sort of map a program around there to try and have him at his best around the time he gets back to Kentucky Downs.
Let me also ask about a couple of others, because Keeneland has always been a place where you strike like Thunderball. I'm so sorry that Uncle Mo Filly, she's going to be okay.
Yeah, no, we've always thought that she was nice. She had a little bit of a hairline and a tibia after a Saratoga debut, so the comeback was very game effort on the poly. She'll run in and we'll stair-step her along. Hopefully she just keeps taking each step with us, but we'll run her in an A other than at Keeneland. And ultimately, again, you would think that hopefully she develops into a nice little stakes filly by the time, you know, the Saratoga comes around.
Nice. I'm so sorry for those that wanted to get the name. And I know it was a four-year-old, but that Fastest Flight, an Air Force Blue.
Yeah, she was very impressive that day on the poly. And I think she's better on the grass, but it's just taken her a couple of starts to get her legs underneath her and work everything out. After that race, she had a little hairline, nothing serious. She got 60 days, so we look forward to her more towards Churchill and the rest of the summer.
Well, you've got a bunch of maidens that were knocking on the door this winter. Who's going to break their maiden at Keeneland over the next 3 weeks?
Wow, that's a good question. I think that Master of Arms will be, you know, he seems like he's getting better with each races, and he runs open and weekend. And coming up there. We've got, you know, some two-year-olds that we're going to debut.
Whoa!
Hopefully a couple of Oscar hopefully a couple of Oscar performances that that have been sort of precocious. So
wow!
Looking forward to running them and watching how they develop as the spring summer goes on too.
How about that? So there's something to look forward to. Excellent. Master of Arms and 2-year-olds. Brian Lynch is going to shoulder up with John Hancock and with Wesley. And there we go. I love it.
Yeah, I might catch them when they go a little bit further, Steve.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I'll let them guys, you know, there's nobody better at it than Wesley. No question around it. But I like to catch them by the time they hit the Saratoga and we start to run a little bit further.
Brian Lynch, everybody. B. Lynch Racing on your Twitter. And Phantom Currency, a tremendous win off a year layoff and regrouping with Classic Causeway. Brian, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
Brian Lynch, everybody. There it is. And there's your first go at the weekend recap brought to you by Naira Bets. And I sent out the link to register for the Wood Memorial contest this weekend. Big money, nice big money contest. So think about that. You don't have to be, you don't have to come to Aqueduct. You can play online. More on that during the week. Thanks to Kenny McPeak and the announcement, essentially, to run Tis the Bomb in the Derby. Mig, Al Gold, Safi Joseph, Brian Lynch. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Back with you tomorrow, 9 a.m., Sirius XM.
In the Mid-Atlantic, nationally recognized for making stallions since 1933, and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading freshman sire, Mosler by Warfront, as well as Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, and Super 99. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to
the PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. 4 brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred 2-year-olds. There are 2 $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has 2 more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.